Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. This is Belinda Ellsworth, your host, and I am so excited about our show today. I've got a great guest in store for you, Ken Coleman. He is a career expert and national radio host of The Ken Coleman Show. Pulling from his own personal struggles, missed opportunities, and career successes, Coleman helps people discover what they were born to do and provides practical steps to make their dream job a reality. The Ken Coleman Show is a color-driven career show that helps listeners who are stuck in a job they hate or searching for something more out of their career. Sounds like Ken is going to be an absolute perfect fit for Work From Your Happy Place. So welcome, Ken.
Belinda, good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm really excited because this was why we created the show that we did, is Working From Your Happy Place. Is, you know, we want to hear from people who love what they do that can inspire others. And it sounds like you're really helping people discover that as well. So why don't you fill in some of the gaps from your bio and tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey?
Sure. Well, I want to add to all those nice things you said. We just found out last week that we are a best-selling author now, as far as the book, The Proximity Principle, the new book, number one on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. And so we're excited about that. But, you know, filling in the gaps, I'm just a guy who 9 years ago said that it was worth pursuing the dream. And the dream was to be a nationally syndicated broadcaster and author and speaker for the purpose of helping others figure out their unique role in this world. And it was scary. It was full of doubt, full of pride, full of failure, all the things into one big cocktail. And it's been quite a journey. But I started out with largely no contacts and no experience, and begin the process of doing the small things, little things like hosting a local festival where I had to introduce balloon artists and mimes and clowns and things like that to, you know, broadcasting on the internet where no one is listening, and just doing the little things, the things where no one is looking, and the things that when you're done with them, you almost question, was that worth my time? Am I just completely wasting all my efforts because nobody's paying attention? Nobody's seeing what I'm doing. And, it was those small steps that led me to more small steps. And then the more small steps you put together, you get to do some medium-sized steps. And in those steps come opportunities to actually prove to a small amount of people that you have what it takes. And so the journey for me was 9 years, almost to the day, when I started into just a simple broadcasting school in the Atlanta, Georgia area, to hosting the Ken Coleman Show on Sirius XM. And it's been a thrill because it has taken so long and it's had all the winds and the potholes and the detours. And yet it has been worth it every step of the way.
That is a great story because I think sometimes people don't realize all of that hard work, dedication, and time. And that's one thing that I see is people are looking for instant gratification. And when they don't get the result that they want, either a course that they've launched or even doing the legwork before they launch a course, and then expecting great results straight out of the gate. And it certainly is a process along the way. One of the analogies I like to use, and I use this with my daughter. I have a 14-year-old who is very involved in acting and actually already doing quite well as just a 14-year-old. And I always say to her, you know, when you're the biggest fish in a small pond, it is time to move on. So in the beginning, you're going to have to be the small fish, but then you start to work up, and then pretty soon you're the biggest fish in your little pond. And so instead of being comfortable there, now it's time to move on and to stretch yourself a little bit more and find a bigger body of water where you're the small fish again in this, you know, lake and then this ocean. And so she's always followed that too, as I have in my career. And it's similar to what you're telling our listeners, but you take those little baby steps and you have successes in there and you celebrate those successes. And now you take that experience and you move that on to a bigger platform until you finally ultimately reach, you know, the end goal. And so, you know, for her, she's moved on from little small community theaters to some bigger community theaters to regional theaters and even, you know, professional theater. So it's been exciting, but every step of the way when she's kind of done as much as she can do, it's time to move on, where we see kids that just keep staying with the same place and being the lead every time, but they're not really growing or learning.
That's right. Well, you know, you make a very good point, too, for your daughter. And one thing that I learned, and I want people to make sure that they get, is that if you were to achieve everything that you wanted quickly, you'd never appreciate it. You just simply wouldn't. We see this with kids. You know, when we teach our kids to try to work hard to be able to make some money and save up some money in order to buy something that means a lot to them. And what your daughter's doing is she keeps moving up the ladder with new opportunities. When she has to work for it and start over and become the small fish again, when she begins to achieve each step of the way, each level as she moves up, it means so much more to us. And so, don't forget that the beauty of the journey is actually to be able to appreciate it when you achieve it. You know, when I got the news that the book had gone to number one, I got to tell you, I was emotional. In my hotel room by myself. And the reason I was emotional is because I immediately did a rewind and then a fast forward of my journey and the 9 years and all the times that I doubted that I was, you know, that I even had what it took, the times that I thought I was delusional, the times I dealt with rejection, the times that I was just stuck with my pride because I was afraid to ask for help, or quite frankly, just didn't want to ask for help because I thought I could do it my own way. And all the things, all the emotions, when I rewound them in my mind and then kind of fast forward back through the journey up to this moment, when I had received this very unexpected news, the reason I was emotional is because I actually appreciated what had just happened. It wasn't that I knew that it had happened, that I wanted that to happen. It's that I, to the core of my soul, it meant the world to me because of everything that led to this moment. And when you work that hard and long for something and you're patient while persevering, number one, you can handle that success a lot better because it means so much to you. It's not just another accomplishment. And so, you know, that's a very key point for people to realize, is that anything worth having is going to take a long time. And you better be in for the long haul or you'll never get there.
I love that. And that's just so true. And I just finished reading your book and I loved it. And we are actually going to be doing a book review on that to our subscriber list that we have that get our newsletter. And so I'm kind of excited about that. And we can talk more about that. But the book is just laid out very, very well for anybody that's wanting to move in a new direction. And what are my best first steps? And what advice would you give? And it is just laid out very beautifully. And it's gotten me really excited about a new project that I'm doing. I decided, and I talked to my staff call this morning, I said, we're following this guide in this proximity principle, because this is perfect. And so here's our goals based on these first three steps that we're going to do. And that's what I laid out today. So this is awesome.
Well, thank you very much. I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us a little bit about then, how has the business shaped your lifestyle?
Yeah, well, I love that question. And by being able to do a live national show every day, it changes your rhythm to where I'm not out looking to do a ton of speaking, because quite frankly, I can reach more people, influence more people through a daily radio show than I can out speaking to maybe 300, 400, 500 people or what have you. I spoke in San Diego last month. It was 4,000 people there. So, but again, that's a small audience compared to a national radio show or a podcast. And so because of that, I'm anchored intentionally to the studio every day. Now, I still go out and speak, but at a much smaller rate than maybe more content providers. And so that's shaped my lifestyle because, again, for me, my time in the studio is more valuable. And so I don't have to travel as much, and that's made a wonderful, wonderful rhythm for our family. Got three kids, a wife, all of whom I love being around, and two big doodles at home that require a lot of my attention as well. So it's been a really nice lifestyle situation in that I'm home most of the year, and my travel is somewhat limited. So that's been great. The other thing is that it's changed my daily rhythm to where I need to make sure that I've got alone time, quiet time, where I'm preparing each day with new content that I'm thinking of, dealing with the big fears and doubts that I fight on behalf of my audience. So I'm constantly taking on fear, doubt, and pride. I'm thinking of content all the time to encourage and equip the audience to fight those enemies. The other thing is I'm looking at data and constantly scouring articles and psychology studies because a lot of what I do, Belinda, is psychology on the radio and helping people overcome limiting beliefs. And so I'm studying those types of things, reading new articles. Got an article today that just came across my desk. USA Today put out a new story. Now the World Health Organization is treating burnout as an actual medical condition. And I just think that's ludicrous. Now, the symptoms of so-called burnout are very real, but to call it a medical condition is just nuts. So I'm going to do a rant on the radio show on that today because I believe that burnout's not a real thing. The only day you burn out is the day you die. So when your flame is extinguished when you go into eternity. Other than that, you're dealing with buildup, and there are five major causes of buildup that I talk about on my show all the time, but I came up with those based on reading all these stories about how burnout is taking over so many Americans. And so that's an example. So I've got to be paying attention to what's really going on in the workplace from a current event, current trends, and what's being reported on the news, because that all is a indication of what's going on with my audience. So the amount of time I spend during the day just thinking through things like that, looking at content, making sure that I'm relevant, as well as am I getting better? Am I constantly filling up my bucket? Because, Belinda, I have to pour myself out on the show this afternoon for those people. And if there's nothing in my bucket, then I'm not going to be helping people. So that shapes the way my day looks in the morning, early before the kids and my wife are up, at night, when they're all in bed. It shapes my entire routine.
Great. Now, I know our listeners are going to be thinking, what are the five things? Share them with us. So do you mind?
Great. No, I don't mind at all. So there are five causes for buildup on the heart. So you're not experiencing burnout. You've got buildup. Just like you think like plaque on your teeth or just I love the analogy of these big, heavy moving blankets being stacked on top of your heart. You can't hear your heartbeat. And so you think, oh, I'm burned out. I'm supposed to move on. So the first one cause of buildup is no passion for your work, meaning you may be good at it and you're competent. That's why you still have the job. But there's no connection to your heart with this work. You don't love the work. You don't get excited about the work or the results of the work. So no passion. The number two reason for buildup is when you are feeling toxicity all over the workplace. So that could be difficult coworkers, people that are just ornery. You just can't stand being around you. They suck the life right out of you. Or we see this a lot in America, a difficult manager, a toxic manager or leader above you. So we call that toxicity. That can make you absolutely want to leave the office and never come back. Makes you dread going in on Monday mornings. The third reason is you're just overwhelmed. Some of you have a hard time saying no. You want to please. You love your work. You're actually passionate about it. You're good at it, but you've asked for too much or you said yes too much, and you feel like you're trying to drink from a fire hose and you're drowning. You're overwhelmed, and that can make you feel, again, burned out, but it's actually buildup of too much work, too much expectation, and you're drowning. The fourth reason is you're underappreciated. This is a function, again, of bad leadership, but it's not toxic. This is just a situation where you've not been recognized much at all, if at all. There's not a culture of recognition and rewards. We know from data, Belinda, from HR studies, that men and women would rather receive an attaboy and attagirl in the form of recognition than they would a pay raise. So if you feel underappreciated, you're going to feel like maybe you're burned out. And then the final reason is you're just bored. And this is a situation where you've mastered the role, or you certainly are so proficient at it, and you've gotten so good at it, and there's no new change or new challenges coming at you. And so you're so good at it, you feel like, why am I even going in here? This work doesn't challenge me anymore. And a bored person is going to feel burned out. So those five things can cause you to feel like, oh, I'm burned out. Well, no, you're not. Your heart's beating. You're alive. The flame is in there. We got to uncover it, and we got to get those things we just talked about off of you. We make the changes there, then all of a sudden you're going to see that flame is burning as bright as it ever has.
I love that. Absolutely. And I too teach on this recognition and rewards, and we've seen some of the same data of, mm-hmm. you know, that it's above income, that people mm-hmm. just want to be recognized and appreciated for a job well done. And yet, sadly, we see very little recognition given by upper level management. It's mm-hmm. it's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's and you know what? And that's what's so sad about it. It's almost silly that if leaders would recognize this information, they realize how cost effective it is. This is not something that costs a ton of money. It just costs your time and intentionality to make sure that from time to time that you're recognizing your team, not just one-on-one, but because here's what I think leaders go, well, I'll call them in the office and tell them great job. And by the way, you should do that. But I think what you should also do is brag on them in front of their peers, brag on them in front of their leader. I'm telling you, that goes a long way for people, because it's not just, you know, recognition that, hey, I know, I see you. I want everybody else to know that I know and see you. And that's important, is to brag on them behind their back and brag on them in front of them.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. All right. So then tell us a little bit about what you feel are your greatest skill sets that have really helped you in this success journey.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, communication, the ability to listen and speak. True communication is a two-way street. It's not just the ability to form words and form sentences and say things in a pithy, memorable way. It's the ability to listen with your eyes and your ears, and to then process what you're listening to and then communicate with your own words effectively. So communication is a top skill of mine. The other skill would be discernment and the ability to analyze folks. So discernment and the analytical skills kind of go hand in hand. Discerning is to be able to listen for what they're not saying, to see and hear what they're not sharing. And then the ability to analyze that and go, okay, here's what I think the problem is. So I've got the ability to take the complex and simplify. So I think those things would be my top three: communication, discernment, analyzing. And if I throw one more in there, it's just encouraging people, you know, just the ability to make them understand that I know where they are. I've been where they are. I see a path forward. And if they don't have enough belief, they can borrow it from me.
I love that. I know for myself, I know how important that is. But for myself, that's like, I forget to do it because my strength is in teaching and training and giving solutions. And so I have a sign up on my wall that says, be an encourager or encourage someone today. And mm-hmm. when I see that, then I'm reminded they're not looking for a fix. They're just really, not always, they're looking for you just to encourage them of where they're at or what their struggle is. And I've done that for myself because it's not one of my greatest strengths, where problem solving and finding a solution for people and giving them the action steps, that's mine. And it's really funny because it all goes hand in hand. I think being an encourager of people is so important. And if it doesn't come naturally, then you have to find other ways to cause yourself to do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things I would encourage you on is just to throw one little line in there. Say it your way, but I end every radio show with, you do have what it takes. Press on. And men and women need to hear that I do have what it takes. I do. I can do it. They need to be reminded of that constantly. And, you know, you do such a good job equipping people, but, you know, always that little encouragement. And here's what's funny. I once had a very wise friend tell me this. He said, every dude that you see on the street is still a little boy looking for his dad's approval. And every little girl, you know, or every woman you see is kind of a little girl saying, do you notice me? You know, mm-hmm. And I think it's really true. And we can't forget that we're all, you know, we started out as these innocent little human beings and just seeking approval and looking for somebody to say, you can do this. And so one of the greatest things we can do for people is to look them in the eye and sincerely, not fake, not a bunch of, you know, cheesy schmooze, but look right into somebody's eyes and look beyond their pupils. Look into their soul. Smile at them and say, hey, I believe in you. Mm-hmm. You're amazing. You can do this. That's an elixir for the soul.
Absolutely. And, you know, I share this with my audiences. People really don't truly start to fully believe in themselves until they know someone else believes in them. And then it's a complete shift for them in the way that they see themselves.
That's exactly right. Here's something else. People will not do what they don't believe.
I know.
So you know, you can sit down with somebody and say, hey, here's the path. I think if you do this step, then you'll get there and you'll do it. But you can say it and they can nod their head. But if they walk away and they don't believe that in their heart, they'll never do it.
So true. So very true. There's been so many gold nuggets. I always like to go along in my interview and say, there was a really good gold nugget, but the whole show has been loaded with them. So I just want to encourage our listeners as they're listening to this, go back and listen to it again. This is the one that's worth listening to again. So I just want to say that right now.
Well, thank you.
All right. So one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something you're super proud of?
Well, certainly proud to have a best-selling book for it to hit number one. That was beyond my wildest imaginations. That's something that I expected, and I'm certainly proud of that because of the book, because of the message that it is going to send to people. That hey, you can do it. Here's a simple, clear, proven path to get there, and to unveil that to people has been some of the greatest, most rewarding work that I've been able to do. Certainly to have a nationally syndicated radio show, a national show. Those are things that I worked long and hard for, a long time, almost a decade, but not for lifting myself up, but for lifting others. Mm-hmm. My mission in life is to turn as many people's lamps on about who they are and let them shine. And if we have more people burning brightly, being who they're supposed to be, this world is going to be an amazing place.
That's awesome. So would you like to share then the opposite of that? Like, what is a challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that?
I would tell you that the single greatest challenge I faced was my own fault, and it was my impatience. You know, everybody on some level has a lack of patience, but I also find there's some great men and women in my life that exhibit tremendous patience. I am terrible at patience. And throughout my journey, my lack of patience to understand that this is about persevering and then waiting, which is this weird tension. I got to get up every day. I got to get out there. I got to chop wood. And hope that, you know, the tree falls. And how much longer am I going to have to chop? And why isn't it falling? I feel like I wasted my time today. I'm exhausted. I had a whole lot of activity, but I didn't see any results. And when you get in that mindset, you forget the patience part, which is show up, put yourself in the right place, and the right time will find you. It's a big part of what we talk about in the book, the proximity principle. But my lack of patience created so many landmines and detours and just plain old ugly states of mind where I would retreat because I felt sorry for myself. And so I would tell you that my impatience was a big hurdle for me for a long time. And when I finally got it, now I know how to deal with it, how to identify it, make sure it doesn't become a hindrance.
Very good. So what's working from your happy place mean to you?
Oh, very simple. To use what I do best to do what I love to do most. And that's what I'm doing. You know, I use my skills of communicating and discernment, and analyzing and coaching and equipping to actually help people discover why they're on this planet. Everybody in the world has a unique role. That means it's needed, and that means we must do it. And so my happy place professionally is communicating to help others discover that and then figure out how to get there. And that is just the most rewarding work that I could possibly ever do.
That is great. So what advice would you give to those listening who are wanting to be entrepreneurs? Maybe they want to go in a new direction. They want to start their own business. They're just kind of there and not really sure where to start.
Yeah, if you're not passionate about the product or service, then don't do it. If it's just a cool idea or you think it's a way to make some good money, I think that's a dangerous place to be as an entrepreneur, because the idea of being an entrepreneur is in itself fraught with uncertainty. It's tough. It's tough enough as it is to start a new business and launch it, make it successful, and then sustain it. And if you're not crazy passionate about it, I think it's a big mistake. What's fun is the word passion, it has a whole lot of roots in it. And one of the roots is from the Greek, the idea to suffer. And so if you're willing to suffer, now we're not talking about, being beaten or things like that, but think about suffering emotionally, suffering psychologically, potentially suffering from lack of sleep, some physical ails in the process of launching something. If you're not willing to endure that, overcome that, then you're not passionate about it. And so, you better know that you are deeply, deeply, deeply convicted with passion before you start into the entrepreneurial vision. And then the other thing I would say is test it before you launch it. Too many mistakes are made. Too many entrepreneurs fail. And they had a great idea that I think could have worked, but they didn't test it. They just launched it. Test it, test it, test it before you turn it into a business. Put it out there. Let friends and family, strangers test the product or the service. Get real feedback. That's huge. And then the last thing I'd say is start small and move slow. A lot of entrepreneurs want to start big and move fast. And I'm not saying that can't work. I'm saying it doesn't work very often. So my advice would be the opposite. Start small, because we tested, we know it works, but we're going to hold back and we're still going to start small and we're going to move slow, because the speed will take care of itself. The market will determine your speed. Don't try to move too fast and grow too quickly.
That is absolutely great advice. It's really interesting about the passion. We just actually did a presentation this weekend in Montreal, and my partner, it actually did that as part of her speech, that actual definition, and then went into the suffering part. So that's so interesting that you bring that up. But yeah, she read the different definitions and then talked about that, and the suffering piece of it was definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting, because here we are today talking about it.
Yes, it's true. I mean, because again, it's just you won't stay with it if there's not passion involved. Perseverance is very difficult without passion as the fuel.
Right. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on? And then how could our listeners benefit? And then, of course, I want you to tell them how they can find you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, we're working on an addition to the radio show podcast, which we podcast the Ken Coleman Show each day. We take the live radio show and we podcast it. But we're launching very soon a Sunday edition, and it's going to be called How They Got There. And this is going to be a long-form interview, so it won't be the caller-driven show. It'll be a long-form interview, sitting down with a guest, and they have made it, but we're going to let them tell their story of fear and doubt and pride and all the failures. And because I want people to hear what the journey actually looks like, not just, hey, they arrived. We want to know, how did you arrive? What did the climb look like for you? Because everybody's journey is different. Everybody's timeline is different. Yet, there's so much that we can learn from each other. So How They Got There is going to be a special Sunday edition of the Ken Coleman Show. You can get that wherever you listen to podcasts. That'll be coming soon. We are launching into AM FM radio syndication beyond the Sirius XM radio show that's daily. And so we're excited about that. That's coming in June. And then we're working on some really exciting things that I actually can't let the cat out of the bag or I'll get in big trouble.
Okay.
We're doing some really exciting things. People can stay tuned. If you want to discover who you are and what you were created to do, we're working on a tool that will give you tremendous clarity. So that's about all I can say on that. But those are some of the things that are coming down the pike.
Oh, that is so, so, so exciting. So again, they can find you at?
Oh, yeah. KenColeman.com is the website. That's where you can connect with me on social media. We're on Instagram at Ken Coleman Show. And the rest of the links are there. And that's where you can buy the book, The Proximity Principle. We have three Get Hired guides that are all free. And those are at KenColeman.com as well. So a lot of information. Anything you want to connect with us on, KenColeman.com.
That is fantastic. Well, Ken, I can't even thank you enough for being on the show today and sharing your story and then sharing about the book. And we're going to be doing some more on that as well to help you promote that. In fact, I'm putting it, we have a planner that we produce every year, and in the back is our book list that we highly recommend for our people that use our planner. And we're already working on the 2020 edition, and we've already put that book on there in our 2020 edition. Wow. So,
well, thank you. I'm so honored by that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So thanks again. And that's a wrap, everyone. Please remember to leave us a review. And this is certainly one that is going to be a great one that I know you're going to be listening to. But go give us a review. It really helps us here at Work From Your Happy Place. And if you haven't subscribed to the show, subscribe to the show because you don't want to miss a single episode. So thanks again, Ken.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.